From the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, this is Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffress, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory. No soldier would go into battle without boots. Most people wouldn't even go outside without proper protection for their feet. And yet, in a spiritual sense, many Christians are walking around completely barefoot when it comes to protecting themselves against Satan's attacks. Today, I want to show you how to put on the next essential piece of spiritual armor in a Christian warrior's wardrobe. My message is titled, Putting On Your Soul Soles, on today's edition of Pathway to Victory.
The temptation that assaults you, the depression or illness that pulls you down, the private doubts you harbor about God. Those aren't just normal parts of everyday life. They're weapons in Satan's sinister battle against your faith, your family, and your future. God wants you to do more than simply hunker down and do the best you can to deflect Satan's attacks. He invites you to join him in the march against Satan and his kingdom of darkness. In his book, The Divine Defense, Dr. Robert Jeffress helps you learn and apply six practical strategies you can use every day to move forward in faith, defeat Satan's destructive plan, and strengthen your resolve. The book is yours when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory. You can win your unseen battles and live victoriously by the power of Christ. Contact Pathway to Victory today and request your copy of The Divine Defense by Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Herb Kelleher, the founder of Southwest Airlines, was once asked in an interview about his secret for building such a successful airline. And this is what he said to the interviewer. He said, I can teach you the secret to running this airline in 30 seconds. This is it. Southwest is the low-fare airline, not a low-fare airline. We are the low-fare airline. And once you understand that fact, you can make any decision about this company's future as well as I can. Kelleher went on to elaborate. Here's an example. Let's say Tracy from the marketing department comes into your office. She says her surveys indicate that the passengers might enjoy a light entree on the Houston to Las Vegas flight. All we offer is peanuts, and she thinks a nice chicken salad would be popular. So what do you say to Tracy? The interviewer hesitated, so Kelleher answered his own question. He said, you say, Tracy, will adding a chicken Caesar salad make us the low-fare airline from Houston to Las Vegas? Because if it doesn't help us become the low-fare airline, we're not serving any blankety-blank chicken salad. You know, understanding your purpose is key to success in the business world. But understanding your unique purpose is also key to success in the spiritual world. A clearly defined purpose is like a beacon in the darkness that provides us direction when we confront choices. But as we're going to discover this morning, understanding your purpose is also a powerful way to defeat Satan's plan to destroy your life. Let me ask you this morning, do you desire to win the spirit wars? Do you really want to be a victor rather than a victim in Satan's attack against your life? If so, it is important to understand the foundational truth we're going to discover this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're looking at the six pieces of armor, the six strategies to defeat Satan in his relentless attack against every one of us. Already we've talked about the belt of truth, and remember that strategy is simply recognize destructive thoughts and replace them with God's thoughts. And then we talked about the breastplate of righteousness, and that strategy is simply this, do what you know you should do, obedience. And today, as we come to verse 15, we'll be looking at the third piece of spiritual armor, the third strategy to win the spirit wars. Look at verses 14 and 15. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What Paul is talking about is putting on the right shoes, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I remember reading an interview one time with a fashion consultant, and this man said, "I always judge a man or woman's wardrobe by first looking at their shoes." We've all heard that before. Shoes make the outfit. Many of you ladies live by that principle. That's your life verse. But you know, in Paul's day, having the right shoes was more than just a fashion statement. In a culture where everybody walked everywhere they went, good shoes, the right shoes, were essential for everyday life. And the same was certainly true for the soldier in Paul's day. The Roman soldier wore this thick-soled shoe that had pieces of metal that protruded from it. The reason he had to have these thick leather soles was because when he was walking, many times the enemy would place sticks, sharp sticks or stones, right underneath the topsoil in order to pierce the soldier's feet. And that thick leather sole protected the soldier's feet. The right boots were essential for success in warfare for a soldier. And so as Paul looked at that Roman soldier to whom he was chained, and he saw those thick-soled, metal-enhanced shoes, he thought to himself, there is a spiritual truth here about the wars we're involved in as Christians. He said it is important that we have the right shoes, the right boots. Now, what is he talking about when he talks about putting on the right spiritual boots? You know, I discovered the hard ways. I looked at the commentaries this week that very few commentators even comment on this verse. It's amazing. They just skip over verse 15 altogether. And the few that do comment about it, they say, well, what he's talking about is your salvation. He talks about having your feet shod with the gospel. And so he's talking about making sure you're saved. That's what gives you stability in life. I don't think that's correct. Because later on, he's going to talk about the helmet of salvation. Now, he has something different in mind here. And I think to understand what Paul is really talking about here, we have to understand that this verse is a free paraphrase of Isaiah 52, verse 7. The prophet said, "How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news." Notice the reference to feet, the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Paul is linking feet with the announcement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may say, now, where do you get that? Well, notice he says, how lovely are the mountains on the mountains are the feet of him who brings the good news. Isaiah says, how welcome it is to see someone who is bringing the good news of salvation. That is a salvation that Christ would provide 700 years after Isaiah wrote these words. But if you still think that's a stretch to link feet and walking with the gospel of Jesus Christ, consider Paul's words in Romans 10, verses 14 and 15. You know these words by heart. How then will they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, and here's a quotation of that Isaiah passage, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. God wants the message of Jesus Christ to be spread throughout the world. How is that going to happen? Well, people don't get saved unless they hear the gospel. And people will not hear the gospel unless there are preachers who move their feet across the world to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we have to understand what Paul means. How will they hear without a preacher? So we'll get these paid professionals who speak in a stained glass voice and speak in front of wooden pulpits, and we will hire them to do the work of the ministry. That is not what God's plan is to spread his gospel message. The word preach simply means to proclaim, okay? Write that down. It simply means to proclaim. A preacher is anyone who proclaims the message of Jesus Christ. He's not talking about paid professionals here. He's talking about anyone who takes the message of Christ throughout the world. And that's God's plan for evangelism. So when Paul talks about, now get this, when Paul talks about having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, here's what he's talking about. The right spiritual boots for a Christian is a Christian's ability and willingness to share the good news of Christ with other people. I want you to write it down. When Paul says, put on the right spiritual boots, he's talking about our ability and willingness to take the message of Christ, to share that message with other people. Now, you may ask the question, well, what is the relationship between our willingness and ability to share the gospel and spiritual warfare? That seems kind of a stretch, Pastor. How do you connect sharing the gospel with other people and standing strong in Satan's attack against your life? I want to answer that question by making three simple statements this morning. Write them down. First of all, God has created you for a great purpose. God has created you for a great purpose. Now, admittedly, not everybody believes that. The humanist believes that you and I are here by a biological accident. We're a biological evolutionary fluke. We're the result of some primordial chemical broth that oozed over the earth over millions and billions of years, and we accidentally sprang to life and started crawling across this planet Earth. Do you believe that? Do you believe you're here just by accident? You know, interestingly, most people, even unbelievers, don't believe that. Most people know there is a greater purpose in life, that they're not here by accident. Johns Hopkins University did a survey of 8,000 college students, and they asked this question, what is the most important thing in life to you? What is it you're after? 16% of those college students said the most important thing to life to us is making a lot of money. 75% said the most important thing in life to us is finding our unique purpose in life. See, people understand that they have a purpose in life. And the Word of God affirms that. In Jeremiah 1, verse 5, remember what God said to the prophet Jeremiah? He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I've appointed you a prophet to the nations. Before I formed you in the womb. That word know is a Hebrew word that means an intimate relationship with, like a man has with his wife. A man knew his wife. Is God saying, Jeremiah, you existed before you were conceived? No, he's not saying that. He clarifies. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I consecrated you. That is, Jeremiah, before you were born, I had a great purpose for your life. And Jeremiah's purpose was to be a prophet to the nations. But God also has a unique purpose for your life. You're no accident. He created you for a unique purpose. What is that purpose? We have to differentiate between God's eternal purpose and God's immediate purpose for your life. You know, God's eternal purpose for you is clear in the Bible. God created you to have fellowship with Him. One of God's eternal purposes for your life is that you be fashioned into the image of Christ. Romans 8:29 says, for whom God foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. God wants you to be just like His perfect Son, Jesus Christ. Those are God's eternal purposes, fellowship with Him, to become like His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, here's a $64,000 question. Why didn't God just immediately take you to heaven the moment you were saved so that those purposes could be immediately fulfilled? I mean, think about it. The Bible says in 1 John 3:3, when we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The Bible says that the rapture, when we meet Christ, we're going to be immediately transformed to be like Jesus. Not only that, Revelation 22, verse 3 says, when we're in heaven, we're going to have perfect fellowship with God. Revelation 22, 3 says, there will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and His bondservants will serve Him. You see, in heaven, the curse of sin will be removed. All of those things that hinder your relationship with God, that create that barrier, those things will be removed. So think about it. If God's eternal purpose for us will be accomplished when we're with Him, why is God leaving us here on earth? Why is God delaying having perfect fellowship with us? Why is He postponing His plan to conform us to the perfect image of His Son? Why is He willing to delay by leaving us here on earth? That's the real question. What is our purpose here on earth? And that leads to a second important statement. Your purpose is to fulfill God's purpose. Your purpose is to fulfill God's purpose. I see a lot of Christians walking around in a fog wondering, gee, I wonder what God's will for my life is. Oh, Lord, please reveal your will for my life. Erwin McManus says it correctly when he says, instead of praying, God, what is your will for my life? What we ought to pray is, God, what is your will, and how can I give my life to fulfill it? That's the real issue. What is God trying to do here on earth? Do you want to know what God's will is? What is it He's trying to accomplish? Here's a hint. Jot down these verses. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God desires that all be saved, not just a select few, that all be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3, 9, for God is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but He is patient, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's will is, His desire is that not any one perish without the gospel. Or Luke chapter 19, verse 10. This is what Jesus said about His reason for coming. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. God's purpose in the world is as clear as it can possibly be. God wants to deliver as many people as possible from the pit of Satan's kingdom, free them, liberate them to experience the light of God's kingdom through Jesus Christ. He said, there is a reason I haven't taken you home to be with me right now. I have left you in that foreign outpost called planet Earth to fulfill one mission. And your mission assignment, ladies and gentlemen, is not to build a successful career. The mission assignment is not to see how much money you can accumulate in a bank account or stock portfolio. The mission is not to see how much pleasure you can extract from this life before you die. The mission is not even to have a successful and fulfilling family life. That's not the mission. The mission is go and rescue as many people as possible from the kingdom of darkness and introduce them to faith in Jesus Christ. That is the mission for which we have been left here. No other mission counts. That leads to a third statement to make today. That is, fulfilling your mission, fulfilling your purpose, is the key to fulfillment in life. Psychologist Carl Jung wrote more than a century ago in his book, Modern Man in Search of a Soul, about a third of my cases, the psychologist said, are suffering from no clinically definable neurosis, but from the senselessness and emptiness of their lives. This can be described as the general neurosis of our time. Now, Jung wrote those words 100 years ago, but he said the general neurosis afflicting a third of my patients can't be defined other than senselessness and emptiness. That was true 100 years ago. It's even more true today. People are walking around trying to fill the void of their empty lives with anything they can find. Some people think work is the way to fill the emptiness in their lives. Work doesn't do it. Other people believe, well, if I can just accumulate enough money, or if I can have enough pleasure, or if I can gain fame, maybe those things will fill the emptiness in my heart. There was a man who lived thousands of years ago. His name was Solomon. He too made it to the top of the success ladder. Wealthiest man of his day. Pleasure, hundreds of wives and concubines. Achievements everywhere. What was his summary of his life? Listen to what he wrote in Ecclesiastes 2, verses 10 to 11. He said, "All that my eyes desired, I didn't refuse them. I didn't withhold from my heart any pleasure, for my heart was pleased because of all of my labor, and this was my reward for all of my labor. Thus I considered all my activities which my hands had done, and the labor which I had exerted, and behold, all was vanity. All was worthless, a striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun." Why is it we're always searching after some new pleasure, some new accomplishment, some new achievement, only to be profoundly disappointed? Here's the answer. Eternal beings can only be satisfied by that which is eternal. Eternal beings can only be satisfied by that which is eternal. You know, you cannot fill a great ocean with a single bucket of water, can you? Take something more to fill up an ocean. And the same is true with our heart. The Bible says God has placed eternity in our hearts. That's true for non-Christians, just like it is Christians. Everybody, the moment they are born, they have a sense of the eternal inside of them. They know there is something beyond this life because every person has a spirit inside of them. God has placed an ocean of eternity in our hearts. And how do we try to fill it? Bucket at a time. A bucket of money, a bucket of pleasure, a bucket of accomplishment, and we wonder why we're not getting anywhere. Now, because we are eternal spirits, we need something that will transcend this life to give us true joy in life. We need an eternal companion, one who will be with us beyond this world. We also need an eternal purpose to which to give our lives. And what could be more eternal than joining with God and fulfilling His purpose, not our purpose, His purpose in the world today? Today's culture has turned Satan into a laughingstock. But in reality, Satan is a formidable opponent who's working overtime to ruin your life. And next time, we'll discover exactly how living out your God-given purpose can actually protect you from Satan's attacks. Before our time is up, I want to thank you so much for giving generously to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory. Your gifts are truly changing lives. Recently, I heard from a friend named Brent. He wrote, "I never understood that repentance was the key for my salvation. But after repenting and asking God to save me and to come into my life, an amazing thing happened. A new birth took place in my heart. What a difference that has made in my life. Thank you, and may God bless your ministry." Well, thank you, Brent, for those encouraging words. Stories like this are the reason Pathway to Victory exists. And I want to thank all of you who are financial partners with this ministry. God is using your gifts to pierce the darkness with the light of His Word. Now, stay right there. I'll be back with more Pathway to Victory in just a moment.
When you read the news about the global pandemic and watch the reports of violence and civil unrest, it's clear that we're living in frightening times. And that's exactly how Satan likes it. The enemy wants you to live in fear. But God has given you a battle plan to spoil Satan's attacks. In his best-selling book, The Divine Defense, Dr. Robert Jeffress provides a biblical approach to gaining victory in daily life using the powerful armor described in Ephesians chapter 6. As you read, you'll learn how to apply six practical strategies that you can use to move forward in faith, defeat Satan's destructive plan, and strengthen your resolve. Request your copy of The Divine Defense when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory. And when your ministry gift is $75 or more, you'll also receive The Divine Defense teaching series on CD and DVD.
You right now are in the midst of an invisible but a very real war. The stakes are high. Your enemy is skilled and determined. The possibility of losing everything important to you is very real. You must be aware of and prepared for the fight.
Pathway to Victory is providing biblical counsel to you and your family, as well as individuals all around the world. So thank you for faithfully giving as we pierce the darkness with the light of God's Word.
It's easy to get preoccupied with all the distractions and entanglements that this world has to offer. We all need a reminder every once in a while, because knowing your purpose is not only crucial to knowing your direction in life, it's also a powerful way to defeat Satan's plan to destroy your life. And next time, we're going to discover how living out your purpose also protects you against Satan's attacks. Stay tuned for a preview of what's coming up next time on Pathway to Victory.
Today, when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of Dr. Jeffress' best-selling book called The Divine Defense. Plus, the brochure, Equipped for Battle, is our gift to you, simply for contacting us today at Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $75 or more, we'll also send you the complete Divine Defense teaching series on both CD and DVD. These programs are made possible because of your generous support. So thanks for calling, writing, or going online to give today. Now, coming up next time on Pathway to Victory.
The fact is, when you really keep your God-given purpose in life in the forefront of your mind, you will find that it is a powerful deterrent to Satan's attacks. Because when you understand your purpose, it will help you make three crucial choices in your life that are absolutely essential to victory in spiritual warfare.
Set your DVR and join us next time for the message, These Boots Were Made for Walking, here on Pathway to Victory.
As much as one-fifth of Scripture consists of prophecy, and I want to show you the actual places in Israel where these prophecies will unfold on the Pathway to Victory Biblical Prophecy Tour of Israel.
Stand on the Mount of Olives, walk the streets of Jerusalem, look out over the Valley of Armageddon, discovering the impact of these historic places on your faith and your future. Join us on the Pathway to Victory Biblical Prophecy Tour of Israel, March 2 through 12, 2021.